The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, master.
Bear, you could have given us a break today.
Oh, good Wednesday morning to you, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley, Doug Franz, The Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning. Broadcasting high atop the bell tower that is the Auction Community Studios on a Quasimodo Wednesday. Yeah, get your hump on and get through the day, ladies and gentlemen. Getting ready, right? Getting ready to go down that hill into the weekend. We say good morning to you, brothers. Good morning, Doug Lace.
Good morning, iPart 16. Thank you.
What do you mean, you pard? Oh, I see. Once again, you pard 16. Now you, who love to go to the club together as a family, right? You go to the club on a Sunday. You sit down. You have brunch at the club.
None of that happens.
The wigwam, of course, out there playing at your club.
Well, I was now number one. I do not have Sunday brunch at the club.
You don't?
No.
Why wouldn't you?
Because Sunday.
Ooh, Greenbrier.
Number one, I'm working. Sunday's a work day after Mass. We come home and I watch football.
I see.
Number two, nobody in the house calls the wigwam the club.
Nobody does, really?
No. And number three,
what do you call it?
We call it Wolf's Guest House. And then
you're so full of it. Of course you call it. Well,
let's go to the club.
Why don't we go to the club?
It's got a sports bar there called Reds. So we say you want to go to Reds.
Oh, I see.
And then number three, I wasn't even talking about the wigwam.
You don't say go to the WOM ever. Does anyone ever say that? Let's go to the WOM.
I have a friend, and full disclosure, he has money and I don't. And he likes to play TPC. And he wanted to play TPC.
So wait a minute. You're
so I mean I can't afford to play TPC, but I played the stadium course yesterday.
How much did they hit you up for on that?
He paid for it. I have no idea.
You have no idea whatsoever. You didn't walk into the.
All I know
did
is
you go to the pro shop with him at all?
No,
did you go in with?
I didn't want to know because I
you didn't want. Okay.
I argued and said, "Listen, I'm a man. I'll pay for myself, even though I really didn't want to." And he goes, "No, I got it." All I know is I said, "Okay, I demand to pay for the beer." And I spent $100 in beer,
okay,
which is just insane.
No, it's not. No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They were hitting you up for $25 a beer. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know how much it was, but I mean, I bought like five of them, and it was $50 a shot.
Okay.
So here you go. So, but anyway, I mean, I played terribly, but all I care about is 16, and I missed a birdie putt and tapped in my par.
Okay, there
so
it is.
So 16 on the stadium course.
So you missed a birdie. Define birdie putt. Define that. I mean,
I wasn't like on the fringe and had a 40-yard putt or something. It was I probably had about a.
You had a 4-footed stop.
I probably had about a 15-footer.
Okay, 15. That's a legitimate birdie opportunity.
And
right
missed
there,
it.
Is
missed
it,
not? It. You know, by about
only you
two,
have hands of a blacksmith, right?
2 inches. No, I'm actually a good putter. I'm terrible at everything else.
I had it backwards.
Putting and chipping, I'm pretty decent. Everything else is awful. I want to congratulate everybody that we have somebody on our side in the Pac-12.
What do you mean?
For the first time ever, a Pac-12 coach has clearly taken sides in the ASU-Arizona rivalry. It's outstanding.
Really?
Yeah. A beatdown of epic proportions on Tucson. I don't even have to tell you who it is. I'll just hit play. Here's the question.
Can I give the basin a moment to gather?
Yeah.
Okay, gather.
That meant make sure you're listening to this.
Yeah.
This is a question at a press conference. Simply rank the Pac-12 mascots.
Okay, rank the Pac-12 mascots.
Right,
okay.
Right. That's all you have to do.
First of all, what kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. Another bear up there at Cal. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down. unless we're going to go with the bird and somebody might get pecked or something. I don't know. The duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The husky, no chance. The beaver, well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, you know, because if that ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. You know, you'd have to get one of those Harry Potter activists to read up on how you kill a sun devil, because there's a lot of outside stuff there. Just as far as a beast alone, a buffalo's going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo's utterly outstanding. Did I leave any of them out? The cougar will find a way. Clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
Swing your sword, isn't that right, Coach? Swing your sword.
The thing that's so fantastic is how quickly he went through each one. His only miss, I would say, is it's too easy of an opportunity to connect the beaver and the tree. To say, yeah, you know, the beaver's going to take on the tree easy. Yes. I wish you would have combined those. But you got to think, number one, he has the devils on his mind because he went there twice.
Yeah, right.
Mythical powers at the beginning, and then asking, who's ever heard this phrase? Those Harry Potter activists.
Yes, like, right.
Are there people in the streets talking about Harry Potter? So he brought up the devils twice.
Right.
And then you can tell he was going from south to north up the coast, and then he dropped back down for Utah and Colorado. But just to start everything, start your morning with,
first of all, what kind of mythical powers does a sun devil have? We got to consider that.
That's really,
I'm going to say the Wildcat's out.
There you go.
That's really interesting that he started with that, right? He started with that right there, with the sun devil thing. Once again, lingering, hanging in the mind of Mike Leach.
I'm excited.
This guy is fascinating. He really is. More on this as the show unfolds.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Vince, how's your morning?
Number five.
Number five this morning, Jalen Ramsey. I love this comment from Jalen Ramsey. I think this will actually get him some attention from other NFL teams. He's not lying.
Well, let's be clear about something. I didn't leak that information. Me and my agent, we are not the ones who leaked that information. And I was very strict about that because I did not want it to get out. And I didn't want it to be a distraction. I didn't want everybody asking my teammates all type of questions throughout the week. So let me be real clear about that. I was not the one, me and my team, we was not the one that leaked that information.
Okay, Jalen Ramsey, did you actually tell one of your teammates? Does your teammates, any of them, know that you want to trade? Because that basically has the same impact to me. It's not about outside that matters. It's about inside.
Number four.
Number four this morning is good question from Burns and Gambo. Talking to Torrey Lovello in their exclusive Tuesday conversation about Mike Hazen signing a contract extension over the weekend.
Every conversation that I've ever had with him from the day that he hired me here, that we have something that we want to accomplish here, and we want to hang banners that represent a world championship. And I know that he's a very dedicated, loyal person. He was going to honor the contract he was under.
I am an optimist by nature, Basin Orleans. I've had to be, right? I grew up on a dead-end street at the bottom of a hill that emptied into a gravel pit. I am optimistic about the Diamondbacks. And that's one of the reasons why. Torrey Lovello.
I agree.
Number three.
Number three this morning. Do you know a gentleman by the name of Le'Veon Bell?
I do.
Julio Jones.
Yes.
Todd Gurley.
Yes.
Alvin Kamara.
Yes.
Kyler Murray's jersey outsold all of those.
What?
Kyler Murray right now has the highest selling jersey out of all rookies drafted in 2019.
Wow.
With the closest being San Francisco defensive lineman Nick Bosa, who's at number 27 overall, while you have Kyler actually beating those names in total jersey sales.
The one ring, ladies and gentlemen, gathers them all and in the darkness binds them. Interesting.
Number two.
Wow. the Marlins.
We just didn't make pitches. We didn't execute a good game plan, and we made mistakes in the middle of the zone. And when pitches roll up there or pitches are out over the plate, big league hitters will take advantage of it. So we got to tighten that up.
Let me just say that Jimmy Scherfe is a bit of an enigma in the Wolfley compound.
I love Jimmy Scherfe.
So do I. But an enigma, nonetheless.
That outing was one of those outings where an organization says, you're a 4A pitcher. You're a good AAA guy, and it's time to move on.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning is something we don't know, and neither do they.
I have no idea. What he's going to do is he's going to get his treatment, and we'll see how he feels, and we'll adjust it as we go through it.
The adjustment next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Say it again, Ron Rivera. When will we know? What are we going to know? When's Cam going to play?
I have no idea. I have no idea. What he's going to do is he's going to get his treatment, and we'll see how he feels, and we'll adjust it as we go around, we go through it.
Jordan Rodriguez covers the Carolina Panthers for The Athletic. She used to work for the Charlotte Observer. We know her around the building because she actually worked for ArizonaSports.com before she left. I talked to her last night for a little bit because I wanted a little background because I admit I could not figure out. It was driving me nuts. What was their practice schedule? Why, it was a big deal that Cam Newton didn't practice yesterday.
Cam Newton.
And me and my small-mindedness, I just couldn't figure out why are they practicing on a Tuesday. And here's what she explained. She said they had their short week the week before and had played on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And the original plan was off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come in, watch film on Monday, take Tuesday off like normal, and then have practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday going into the game or when they're leaving for here, things like that. And they decided to change it on the fly because they performed so poorly on Thursday, Ron Rivera did not give them Friday off, brought them in for film study on Friday, then gave them Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. And then what they're doing is they're practicing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday hard.
Yo.
And then they're flying here on Friday. They're coming out early for this game. So that's why they were practicing yesterday. So basically, if you know a football practice schedule, yesterday was their Wednesday. Today is their Thursday. So if those are two huge practice days, and you can explain that better than me, and it might be Cam Newton's not playing in either of their two major practice days.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It really is, typically. But I will say right now, I think they'll stretch the rules, let's put it that way, for Cam Newton. Cam Newton, of course, ladies and gentlemen, we all know. I would have been able to tell you that was the reason why they were practicing yesterday, just because of their Thursday night
that
game
was
the week before, to me. Sometimes you get coaches that will do that. Mm-hmm. They want to start it, and once they get started, they don't want to give the guys a day off after already having a couple of days.
Right.
So it all depends on the coach, Basinonians. It really does. But for me, obviously, the news about Cam Newton, this is a big deal for the Arizona Cardinals and their game on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers for obvious reasons. Big deal, Ron Wolfley reporting. I don't think right now a sprained foot, based on how I saw Cam Newton play in that Thursday night game, and I'm telling you right now, it's the game watching him play on Thursday night that makes me feel like he's not going to play Sunday. I have no inside information whatsoever. It's just how bad he looked, how it impacted his play. And I realize the Carolina Panthers right now are 0-2. I know they're 0-2 right now. Stop and think about it. They lost to the Rams at home 30-27, right? And now they lose this game by 6. It's against
this game meaning Tampa Bay Thursday,
of course, right? Yeah, exactly. So to me, again, they're 0-2. Are they desperate? Absolutely. But I will tell you right now, forget about the 0-2. Forget about that. Forget about all of it if Cam Newton is hurt for a significant amount of time. They got to get him right above all else.
It also seems
that's what they'll do.
It also seems to make sense schedule-wise that, okay, you play him in the short week on those first 2 weeks. Then you're looking at it, and you know they'll never admit this publicly, and I'm sure the Cardinals are looking at Carolina the same way. But Carolina is looking at the Cardinals saying, you're not very good. we can win this game without Cam Newton. So he gets a rest for a week and a half. Then they play Houston and Jacksonville, and they've got to be anticipating some sacks could be coming in those two games. And then of all weird scheduling quirks, they're done with Tampa Bay. They play Tampa Bay again, and then that's it for them in their own division against Tampa Bay. And then they have a bye week.
I see.
So it makes a lot of sense to say, you know what, let's just rest Cam and use the entire extended bye from the Thursday night game against an opponent we think we can win, get him rested for the beatdown physically he might be taking between Houston and Jacksonville, and then you've got one more game before the bye week, so you get a longer rest to get him ready from what would then turn out to be week 8 forward. That's what NFL teams think about when they make these decisions.
Yes.
And it makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Listen, Carolina, once again, it's huge for the Carolina Panthers, Basinonians, but it's also huge for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, listen to me well on this, all right? Hear my words and heed them well. Okay, there should be no letdown whatsoever. Are you kidding me? You were 3-13 last year. There should be no letdown at all, because Cam Newton is not going to play. We all know that, and we've all heard that. I've heard all the reasons why, ladies and gentlemen. There's not going to be any letdown whatsoever. I'm telling you right now, you replace Cam Newton with Kyle Allen, and no offense to Kyle, who's a local boy here, right, and I support him greatly. No offense to him whatsoever, but you replace Cam Newton with Kyle Allen, and there's going to be a little bit of a letdown in that locker room unless there's strong leadership that is going to step up and say, hey, listen, I'm telling you right now, knock it off. And even when you say that, even when you have people get up and talk about it, I've seen this over and over and over again. Dudes that were team captains, respected greatly in the locker room, standing up saying, you better work your butt off. I don't want to hear any of this. Oh, you know what? This guy isn't playing. Troy Aikman isn't going to play. Emmett's not going to play. We're going to be... I don't want to hear any of that bull. Even then, as a human being, you're going to go out and guess what? There's going to be guys that aren't going to be able to stop. There's going to be guys that are going to go out there and they're going to give everything they think they have, and they really didn't prepare the way they need to prepare.
One of the things I don't understand about that, And granted, I'm coming at it from a talk show host point of view, a guy that made minimum wage out of college for 4 years, is that you've talked for years about their mercenaries. You've talked for years about, hey, all you do is play for the paycheck, and you'll take it from any of the 32 NFL teams. This is your time to feast. I would actually think, if I'm a defensive lineman or a linebacker playing against a Kyle Allen, a young guy less experienced, I'm thinking, I make money on this guy. I have an opportunity to pick up two extra sacks, an opportunity to get a pick, an opportunity like I don't have against other players. I don't know why it actually doesn't amp you up more against a player like that for your chance to feast.
Yeah, it's because of the face of Cam Newton and not looking at the face of Cam Newton. Now suddenly it's like, oh, it's Cam Newton. You know you better be right. You know you better be good. Have you ever seen Cam Newton up close, ladies and gentlemen? This guy is not like you and I. He is not. He is an alien beamed down from the mothership. And I'm saying that, obviously, facetiously. But if you stand next, this guy he will threaten your life and your family's lives, metaphorically speaking, if you stand next to him, because he makes you feel like you are insignificant.
Weird quote from...
I'm just saying.
Weird quote from Ron Rivera. Every, coach will usually either not answer injury questions or they'll go right to it. And Ron was kind of weird.
Well, I think at the end of the day, nobody will know better than him. So my job really will be to handle the players that are playing, handle the quarterback situation as it goes. And until we know that, Kyle Allen, if he's going to end up playing as our starter, he'll be our starter.
That sounds like a guy that's going to allow this to be a game time decision.
Yes,
when you say only Cam knows how he feels.
Yes.
So no matter how much we talk about it this week, and we will, we'll give you every piece of information we get, sounds like a guy who's waiting till maybe Sunday morning, at least Saturday, before they make a determination who's the starting quarterback for Carolina.
More on this as the week unfolds.
Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast. It's brought to you this week by Kinetico. Coming up next, Kyler Murray. How will he fare against the Panthers defense? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Paul Calvisi has joined us in the Octon Community Studios. Before we get to our discussion points of Kyler Murray this morning.
Who wants some over here?
We just had a tweet that you need to know about the next level update so far in Cam or Kyle versus Kyler in the Carolina Cardinals game.
Hey, retweet this. Presented by Sanderson Ford. Stop.
Cam Newton, according to Ian Rappaport,
Cam Newton,
still in a walking boot today as he battles a re-aggravation of his midfoot sprain. Team will know more about his status soon. If he can practice, he's got a shot at Sunday. If he doesn't practice today, it's unlikely he plays.
That's too bad. I wish he would play.
That's pretty vague. Ian Rappaport knows more about the situation than I do, but I admit I'm not buying it. If Cam Newton doesn't practice today, I think that drops his chances of playing Sunday by a point and maybe a point and a half percent. Do they need him to practice? Of course, if he's ready. But if he doesn't practice today and suddenly wakes up Saturday and says, I'm good, proves it Sunday morning in the warm-up, they're not going to say, you know what, never mind. But now I do think they're going to be overly cautious, but he can beat overly cautious if he can prove that he's healthy.
Well, he hasn't been running anyway. I mean, he's had virtually no rushing yards and very little rushing attempts. So if he can just go back in the pocket and be a classic drop-back quarterback, then, you know, maybe they attempt that. Here's what I mean, though, by I hope he does play, because did you see some of the numbers against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The ESPN analytic guys, the pocket protector guys, calculated. They said he missed 15 open receivers in that game. There were 10 overthrows and 5 underthrows. And then under duress, he was 0 for 10 passing and sacked 3 times. He's playing bad football right now.
Yeah, you know, honestly, you start by throwing the ball with your feet. It starts from the ground up, and that makes perfect sense to me. If, in fact, he was feeling any discomfort whatsoever, right, it makes a lot of sense to me, Paulie. Also, too, I think just the context, generally speaking, in which he was playing in, the context. Cam Newton is a guy that will pull the ball down and run the ball, right? We've all seen him do that,
Oh, yeah.
And he likes to do it, and he's really good at it, as we all know, right? He'll pull it down. Well, if he knew right there and then that, you know what, I'm not going to have that at my disposal, that changes the entire context in which you play it and compete it.
To Paul's point, though, and this is something that's kind of interesting, the analytic guys will actually set the target on film of this is where the ball is supposed to go. And then they actually measure where the ball went based on their graphics and things like that. So just to add to Paul, with Paul not even knowing that he walked into something this morning, how about this from Thursday?
Cam Newton and the Panthers come to Arizona this weekend. Cam extended his losing streak to 8 games and now has 25 off-target throws in 2 games this season, his most in any 2-game stretch in his whole career.
I mean,
he's got a shoulder and he's got a bum foot.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And the Panthers aren't very good when he doesn't run. The stat here says they're 0-7 all-time when he runs twice or less in a game.
So wow,
if he's not able to run, if he's not able to be the multi-dimensional threat at quarterback,
yeah,
then the Panthers usually are hosed. And he's nowhere near Lamar Jackson right now. He ain't running with that ball. He ain't pulling it down and running for a $120 like Lamar Jackson did last week.
I'll tell you what, Paulie, you and your forehead came in here, and you came in here with a purpose today, right? You are down in the weeds right now. Read that stat one more time, Paulie.
All time, the Panthers are 0-7 when Cam runs twice or less in a game.
Wow. 0-7.
He does not beat you from the pocket. Not exclusively. Not solely. Right now, he's 31st in NFL passer efficiency rating. And he had this season, he's completed 56% of his passes. And so far, you know, he's only run five times in two games for negative 2 yards, and he's fumbled twice on those five rushing attempts.
They actually asked him, is the injury why he's not running the football? This is Ron Rivera.
No, not necessarily. I mean, it was a short week, you know, and unfortunately. He told us that it had re-aggravated it at some point during the game, and that it was sore. So we just went from from there.
Just listen to what he just said right there. Ron, please, you gotta get better at that, man. If you're just not going to tell us the truth, you know, just say you're not going to tell us the truth. Don't answer like that.
No, not necessarily. I mean, it was a short week, you know.
What do you mean? What? You would think in a short week that would be more devastating to have to try to tackle Cam. Your body's sore from last Sunday. Now you've got to tackle Cam on a Thursday night. Why is it for Cam? Well, it's a short week. Why did he run less? Did the injury affect him? No, it's a short week.
We've got another stat on Cam for you, Wolf. Here you go. He hasn't thrown or run for a touchdown in four games. So, Doug, your stat.
That's impossible. A quarterback.
That he's lost eight straight starts. He hasn't thrown run for a touchdown in his last four games.
You know, it's time to say this. I don't want to say I'm making it up, but I'm scared to even go here because I'm getting into a man's head.
Right.
But does Cam Newton want to play football anymore?
Cam Newton.
I think it's time to seriously ask the question. It's none of my business. This is America. You want to retire. Who am I? I always got mad when people got mad at Michael Jordan playing for the Wizards. And I'm like, it's his life. Why do we argue whether or not he's allowed to do that or should blah, blah, blah? Cam Newton, it's his life. If he wants to get out of football, get out of football. But I got to ask, you are taking a paycheck and you are paid to win games for Carolina, and you seem totally disinterested in being Cam Newton other than your press conference hats.
His fashion game is much better than his football game right now. His attire and his wardrobe, you know, he's at his best when he's walking into the stadium and they're doing those videos and the little Hollywood entertainment walk.
Yeah.
And the Carolina Panthers tweet out those highly edited videos of him looking in that whatever outfit he's wearing. And then he goes out there and stinks it up. And so I think he's got his priorities reversed right now. How about walking in a pair of sweats and then balling out on game day?
There's no doubt about it. You stop and think about Cam Newton, right? And think about that Tampa Bay game, Basinonians, right now. Get that game clearly in your head and the way that Cam Newton looked. He looked, I don't know, Paulie, he looked lost to me in that game.
Totally.
And you're telling me, after looking lost in that game,
he put that same outfit back
you're
on.
You're going to come on with the scarf after the press conference and put this.
Here I am, everyone.
I'm just saying, do you know the thought process that goes into that right there? I'm sorry. A scarf on his head. I'm wondering what his teammates are basically. It's just a fact, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry.
By the way,
there's a lot of testosterone in that locker room.
If you read a lot of the Charlotte media, there's open speculation whether he's going to be back next year. He's scheduled to count $21 million under the 2020 salary cap. But if they release him, they only have $2 million in dead money. Mm. They can save $19 million under the cap if they release him. Only $2 million in dead money if they release Cam Newton this offseason.
It might be time. It might be time. And Wolf, just so you know, there's one thing about Cam Newton when you talk about how much time he puts into this wardrobe. He could be Anthony Davis. Because remember Davis, when he was sick of New Orleans, he wore that That's All Folks t-shirt, but then claimed
the Looney Tunes.
That his wardrobe was picked out by other people, and he had no idea.
Right. That's true.
So that could be Cam Newton has a wardrobe department, and he doesn't know that he's putting on a scarf on his head.
That's right. He's got people for that, Doug. He's got people to dress him and pick out his outfits. Come on now.
I guess I can't make fun of that, because if we're going somewhere important, Jennifer lays out my clothes, too.
Right.
Coming up next, Tori Lavello stands up for Mike Hazen and tells us why he thought he wasn't going anywhere. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thanks for listening to the two of us this morning. Doug and Wolf live in the Auction Community Studios.
What up?
I do have to come clean and make an announcement that a streak ended last night. Full disclosure, I think it's only fair to say this. Summer vacation of 2014, I had some kind of DVR problem. I still don't know what happened. So I missed a whole Diamondbacks game that I did not watch when I returned from vacation.
Okay.
That's the last time I've ever missed any baseball innings, either watching it on the DVR, watching it live, or going to a game.
Okay.
So the streak ended last night. Because at about the eighth inning, I was tired and said, this is just trash. This is the Marlins, and I went to bed.
Yes.
So I the inning streak
full
ended.
Full disclosure.
It lasted from 2014, every single inning, until last night, and I said, I'm done. I'm going to bed. And if you would like to rip me, I deserve it for quitting on the team last night.
I see.
But I was just done. I got other work to do, and I need to rest.
Okay. You feel better now that you said that, right?
I mean, no, I feel like I let the entire team down and the entire city. I see. I do. Okay. I'm not. Is it a little anal? Yes, it is. But that's. I feel like it's my job, and I just got sick of it. I didn't feel like doing it, so I thought I should come clean. I really enjoyed the conversation. I don't even want to talk about last night. It was so ugly and so horrible. But I really thought you might like this if you're a listener in the morning and you don't have a chance to listen to Burns and Gambo or hear the exclusive conversation they have with Torrey Lovello, because they got into Torrey's confidence that Mike Hazen was going to stay. If you remember the story a week ago, they asked him about Mike Hazen with the opening in Boston, and he, you know, basically said, listen, I know he's going to stay. Yeah. I have total confidence
he's
staying.
Which I could not even believe at the time he commented on it.
Well, they asked him, you know, okay, did you know, or what happened here?
I told him, I said, I'm glad you're here, because if you moved on, I was throwing punches first, and then I was going to look at who I was hitting last. You know, I was coming after people, everybody.
How about that, Torrey Lovello?
He's pretty fired up, but he says that's
strong.
That's fun.
He had never once come in here and told me one thing about the Boston Red Sox. He never once told me anything about a contract extension. The only thing that he said, on the day that he was going to announce that there was something happening, is that everything's put to bed and we're moving full speed ahead until we do win a World Championship. But I could tell, because of how long I've known him, you can tell when you're looking at somebody that way, that you've known as long as I have, that they're invested it like that, that their facial expressions don't lie, and I know that he's invested. He's a special guy.
Boy, that is really, really cool to have that special relationship, right, where Mike Hazen and Torrey Lovello have that thing. They just have that it relationship, right, where they
totally.
Just know each other. That's really, really cool to see that kind of harmony. Right at the leadership level, where you are really creating policy for the most part for your players in the clubhouse and how you do things.
You know, and one thing that's interesting about this, and it was backed up by Torrey Lovello, and I don't think Torrey even knew that he was backing this up, but you can imagine after the conversation we had last week with Mike Hazen, and if you didn't hear it, Mike Hazen, very, very vague, came on with the Bill Belichick type answer, you know, hey, I'm not thinking about Boston. I'm focused on the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm focused on getting this team to play. And it was, you know, let's only talk about that. Let's only talk about that. Which in America means I'm out. You know, which in America, when guys do that, they're being honest, but they're leaving the door open. They're leaving when you could just squash it if you wanted to. And it really bothered me that he didn't just say, I'm staying. Because if you're just staying, just end the speculation. And I was told by somebody else he was being so honest because any conversation about a potential extension means he's talking about him. And he just doesn't understand why he should ever talk about him. And that's interesting, because what did Torrey Lovello say to Burns and Gambo yesterday?
He is a very private person with those types of things. We know each other extremely well. And I could just tell from every conversation that I've ever had with him, from the day that he hired me here, that we have something that we want to accomplish here, and we want to hang banners that represent a world championship. And I know that he's a very dedicated, loyal person. He was going to honor the contract he was under.
I believe that 100%.
I do too.
He's going to honor the contract he was under, right? I believe that. But I will say that nobody's going to be able to convince me that Mike Hazen may have actually used that opportunity. Where somebody else, it was rumored to be interested in Mike Hazen, and my goodness, it would make a perfect rumor. It would make a perfect rumor, because there was validity to it,
yeah.
Was there not, with the Boston Red Sox. He wouldn't be the first, nor will he be the last person to take that opportunity and that leverage and turn it into money.
Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps Live this Saturday from 9 to 11 at the Chick-fil-A just on 44th Street and Indian School in Arcadia. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, tickets, and other prizes. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series.
Listen, research, and Doug. Research, and Doug.
I try to watch as much college and pro football over the weekend as I can. I steal things off of the screen that are little stats they give during a broadcast, read all kinds of different tweets and websites, and I come up with things that I think Wolf and you will find interesting, such as what happened last Thursday night.
The last time Jameis Winston won a road game before last Thursday night, Cliff Kingsbury was still coaching Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh. It's been that long since Jameis Winston started a game on the road that Tampa Bay won.
Wow, how about that right there? Jameis Winston. How bad does that make Cam Newton?
Yeah, as the guy that lost him. Oh, by the way, congratulations to you. You've got an NFC Championship game to broadcast this year.
I see.
This is the first time Larry Fitzgerald has 100-plus receiving yards in consecutive games to start a season. The last time Fitz had back-to-back 100-yard games, the Cardinals went to the NFC Championship game 4 months later.
Yeah, you said that, didn't you, actually?
We're in!
That was something Barrett was talking about.
Weeks two, and three.
Yes!
He went back-to-back 100-yard games, and the Cardinals went to the NFC Championship game against the Carolina Panthers, who are coming here this weekend.
Very interesting, Doug Lease, even though that did sound an awful lot like research and Bear.
I didn't know Bear found that, but good job, Bear. This is one of those stats where we will get, and I'll call my shot.
All right, here we go.
Wolf's going to fight it, but you're not going to be able to control yourself because this is impossible that this actually happened.
As long as the Chiefs don't play in Oakland during the playoffs, Patrick Mahomes Sr. and Patrick Mahomes Jr. will have each played their final game in Oakland Coliseum on September 15th.
What? Patrick Mahomes Sr. pitched for the Twins on September 15th in Oakland.
No!
And never pitched in Oakland again.
No!
Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback, played in Oakland on September 15th.
Do you feel that, brothers?
And that's his last game ever in Oakland Coliseum.
What are the odds of that?
Now, come on.
What are the odds of that right there? Zero. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? On the same day?
On the same day. That's creepy.
just stop it.
And by the way, that game in Oakland, how does this make you feel?
As far as we know, Sunday was the last NFL game ever to be played on a dirt infield.
It's all clicking in right now. It's making perfect sense. Is it not? Of course.
The Oakland Raiders schedule is so terrible for them to have to deal with. But they have a back-to-back road games, a home game in London, and then they have two more road games. They're not home until November 3rd.
Wow.
And by that time, unless the A's have like game 7 of a World Series,
yes,
the infield will be grass, and this is the only place where you have a team playing on a baseball stadium, and the Raiders are going to Vegas next year.
Boy, that is incredible right there. And then it is done, and I have played on those infields. I have played on those infields. It is awful. You can't even imagine going down on that. First of all, it's like going down on a parking lot for the most part. It is hard, right? We all know what it's like. It's hard. Yes, you do slide on that dirt. There's no doubt about that. You slide, not a surprise, knowing they play baseball on that dirt. But man, when you go down face first, or if your helmet whips off the ground, it is like whipping off the ground in a concrete parking lot.
I went to an A's game. They allow tailgating, and it was kind of funny this summer. There were all these seats just stashed in the parking lot. And I went over, like, what is this? And I realized it's the football seats that they wheel out. They actually just leave them in the parking lot. There's no place to store them in that little, that hole of a stadium.
Yes.
It's just out the parking lot.
Just brutal, isn't it?
Coming up next, Sunday could feature Kyler versus Kyle. And there's a history between the two. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.